Yep, but she missed. Didn't get in there. All right. In the, we did cover the Mormonism idea of salvation, didn't we? The great atonement of the Son of God was to redeem man and to restore him to the elevated position designed for him in the creation as the Son of God.
Where did you just read?
Now, that's on page 5. We had gotten over to 7, hadn't we?
Yeah, we were on page 7.
All right. But I just wanted to keep bringing you back to that's a test question on their idea of salvation. So I want you I had that checked anyhow.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Which one was their idea of salvation on page 6?
5.
Page 5. And bold print salvation.
A lot of salvation there. Salvation, Missionary Baptist call it. The dictionary says it's salvation. Brother Bogart used to say, there's just not as much sal in salvation as most preachers put there. There's a little sal in it. Like program. There's a whole lot less gram in program than most people put there. Those things are easy to remember. If somebody puts them in a foolish manner that way, it kind of they register.
Are all these capital letter things test questions about angel baptism, Adam being God, many gods?
Well, there's a possibility that these are the statements of such. Is Mormonism Christian?
87 points.
Is Mormonism Christian? Well, I deny it completely because that number one, they didn't come up with the right Christ. Our Christ did not declare himself to be with the church always, even at the end of the world, only to be buried for 1400 years in a mountain in the United States. Be dug up and come alive again as the Word. It's the wrong Christ altogether, the wrong Savior. Pardon me. This is mine with a nigger preacher that had a cold one morning and needed some cold syrup. But when his deacon produced him a little bottle of liquor, he said, this do pretty good. So how am I going to get by with it? My throat starts tickling, I can't preach. He said, well, just kind of squat down and take a little sip and put it back in your pulpit and call on the people to pray or something. And so he managed 2 or 3 times to keep the people and finally said, now you see me. He managed 2 or 3 times to get him a sip without people noting by calling on them to pray or bow their heads or something of that nature. He'd squat down and get him a sip. Directly he just starts saying, and now you see me, and he squat down and take a nip, and now you don't see me. And then he raise up, start preaching again. And he was getting livelier all along. And directly he said, now you see me, and reached down and got that bottle and screwed the top off and said, I don't care who sees me. He really got bold. I don't care if you do or not.
Hobie Lister said that one day one of his good Methodist friends asked him to come preach for him. He said, well, I don't know if I can come and handle that. He said, I'm not too familiar with the way your church built. He said, oh, it'll be all right. Just get up there and preach. Said he got up there, he noticed a glass of water sitting on the pulpit, and it was a hot day, and he reached down and he took a sip. And by the end of the sermon, he drank that glass of water. He said, and to my consternation, I found out that I had caused them a lot of problems, because they were going to have a baptizing that day, and I had drunk the
Baptist. All right. Latter-day Saints is a dead giveaway that Mormonism is not Christian, because the Bible mentions nothing about such Latter-day Saints. In fact, Jude 3, Jude 3 denial, sir, that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Once delivered unto the saints removes the Latter-day Saints from Christendom. Now that satisfies me. I don't know what it does to the Mormon. I'm real satisfied with that.
Oh, that is not a correct interpretation. That was lost.
Yeah, but that along with, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world, 28 and 20 of Matthew, means what it says.
The problem is they don't believe the Bible. They really don't.
And, but the Christians do. If they don't believe the Bible, it rubs them out as Christian. They're not even categorized as such. This Church of Christ preacher in Warren, Arkansas, when they had me over there, the ladies wanted to know, about 7 or 8 of them in the house, they was having a Bible study, and they would call me to come over. I agreed, but I didn't know they had invited him too. When I got over there, I asked what the question might be, and they said, well, we got the Church of Christ preacher coming over, and we'd rather wait until he gets here than ask the both of you the question. So I was just kind of halfway praying, Lord, let me keep a cool head, you know, and not to get overboard with this thing. So he came in rubbing his hands, you know, as if now the stud duck is here. Come on with your question, you know. And he is rubbing his hands, and I said, Berkeley said, what is the question? And they said, we want to know how you know which is the true church. Well, he said, it's very simple. It's a church that was, that is called by the name of Christ. And I said, amen. He turned around and looked up and said, you believe that? I said, you call me a liar? I said, amen. He said, no. But what in the world have you camouflaged your name under that word Baptist for? That's because of ungodly devils just like you who forced us under that name for identification. For you put us there. We didn't volunteer to get there. You put us on. But we do wear the name of Jesus Christ and none other. The church is his body. He's the head, the body, and the foundation of this church. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. And he just sat down in a chair. And his two-ton wife sitting there on the bed, a couple of other women, she's well acquainted with tonnage, whether she weighed 2 tons or not at all. But she very cynically said, why would you Baptist do? If Ephesians 2:8-9 were not in the Bible, I said, we'd go straight to hell right where you're going if you don't believe it. And so he, I had to go to my radio broadcast at 4 o'clock. I had to leave. And I said, now, if you see here, he hasn't handled my statements at all while I'm here, but he's going to take me to task when I leave. But after all, that's the way the Camelot got started. After he was kicked out of the Baptist church, then he became a Camelite. And so that's it. He couldn't do it while he was in the Baptist church. He tried, Ellick did, and he just couldn't get by with it, so they kicked him out. Found him a Presbyterian they could kick out too, so he baptized him and had him a disciple. That's the way you got started. And I said, now your church, well, if you say you're the Church of Christ, how could you have been late until 1825, when Jesus said, I will be with you always to the end of the world. Ephesians 3:21. Then be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. That means no gap. Throughout all ages. How could you have been lived? Oh, he said, the church was here in spirit, and that's what Mormonism hangs on to. The church was here in spirit all this time, you know. And I said, well, I'd be ashamed of belonging to a church of the spirit that would not fight the fight of faith for the 1800 years when brethren were dying defending this faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I'd be ashamed to belong to something that's too cowardly to fight and defend it. Now you come up in these last days, say, we are the Church of Christ. I said, no, sir, I want to be in the bloodline myself. The Spirit not enough, I want to be in the bloodline. He's going to baptize with fire and the Spirit. Jesus said, if you drink my blood and eat my body, you're my disciple indeed, you cannot be elsewise. And so those men shed blood all the way defending the faith. And that ended it. Well, Mormonism has the same kind of approach. In fact, they're a little earlier than Campbellism. They got started a little earlier. But they go to the Spirit. Now, spiritualists will whip your pants off of you unless your lesson is prepared before you entangle with them. If you want to get started studying the Bible, just get in entanglements or engagements with spiritualists. They'll put your head in there. They'll make you study, but you just won't like to suffer the embarrassment that you surely will unless you are prepared. You have to get ready with answers, because they're going to really sock it to you. Now, the Mormons go to the intellectual side with their spirituality. They will say that later research has given a different meaning to the Greek, you know, and on and on. They found that the older translation was no good. You know, the old diglot, they finally quit using it. They've gotten them another one now. I pulled mine off the ship, and I said, I got one here. They said, oh, well, he said, that's a long time ago. And, we've got a more current issue. And I said, well, I don't even like the diglot, because it's been wrong. And I'm sure a later issue would be just a little further off, because it's done to satisfy a man from a philosophical standpoint. It goes with man's idea and pushes it back to God and makes God be what man's idea is. And it's no good. It's no good at all. I'd rather let him be who he is and just rest the case. Well, government of Mormonism is placed entirely upon materialism, and they make this, like many ungodly missionary Baptists are making it today, they take the material element and say of a surety, this was done by the Spirit of God. All right. Brother Elaine preached for me here a couple of weeks ago, last night, a week ago, and he said, God provided me a new car, but he didn't make the payments on it. But he kind of grinned, you know, that he was making light of this deal, that people always thanking God for this material blessing and that material blessing. It's thank God for this. God provided it. He said that he forgot to make payments on it after he provided for it for me. Like people say, God gave us this church building. Why did he take out a $1,200 a month payment on it, you know, if he gave it to you? I'll give it to you, but you pay for it. Instead of paying $100 principal only, you're going to have to pay $219,000 instead of $100,000. Because interest gets in there, you know. Over a period of 25, 15 years, you're going to have to pay over the amount of the principal. Same amount plus the same amount again, plus some. No, that's not God giving it to us. Over 8,000 larger churches in the United States right now, the statistics came out the other day, are bankrupt. The bond program gone kapooey with them. They can't pay it. Over overshot, you know, went too far in debt, building. And those 8,000 churches, I'd bet my life against a donut without a hole in the middle, that they preached God gave us this. Look at this enormous building God has given. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Well, why are they bankrupt? See? The fact is, they are just lying through their cotton-picking teeth, and so is any missionary Baptist preacher that will stand up before his congregation and brag on what they've got and say, God gave it to us. The only thing God gave is from the Spirit. God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in material goods. He didn't say that, did he? But in spirit and in truth. I've heard so many missionary Baptist preachers come out with that lie. I believe they know it's a lie. That's really can't be categorized as a lie. I believe they're just fooling their people, hoodwinking them, making some spirit of God be in the materialistic realm. He is not, never has been, and can't be. Why did he let the old apostle Paul hunger so much? Was it because he is a mean devil? Why did he let the apostles be killed hideously? Was it because they're so wicked? Why hasn't somebody been raptured like Enoch and Elijah? Because there's none as good as those two? Now, God had special reasons for those things, and He did them. Today, He never did promise. Now, Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, who is this I will? The same as the I am with you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst thereof also. Do you see him materially, physically? Do you? No. He's there in spirit, isn't he? Yes. How do you know? Through his word. I know it. Through his word. The spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are the sons of God. Romans 8:16 and 17, and if sons, heirs, if so be, we suffer with him. If so be, we suffer with him. No, it's really, if so be, he blesses us with a new car, or blesses us by giving us a church building. All these great comforts, the hellish and ungodly missionary Baptist preachers get up and loud mouth, look what we've got. Oh, God is great, isn't he? Oh, he just blessed us with so much. That's of hell, folks. It's of the devil. Only a blind, impotent fool could believe. Amen.
They got materialistic.
And the heavenly host saying unto him, holy, glory, praise, might, power be unto him. You know, that's a host no man can number, was saying. Man, alive. Yes, sir. Jesus said it. He left the clue out in the 17th chapter of John, or 24. Father, I would that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. There you are. Why are we raptured? For his glory.
That's just one of the means to produce glory for him.
Yeah.
Not anywhere near the main purpose.
Why are we saved? For his sake. That's what Paul said. For his sake. Why do we serve him? To glorify him. It's Christ. Now, the media of your contemporary religions today stated in the first period class, is to satisfy the present troubled soul of the individual. And you'd be surprised that 90% of our missionary Baptists aren't resorting to that hellishness and ungodliness right now. Right now. It makes me sick to hear one of the buzzards preach from that standpoint. Man, Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. As some of us will have a cotton-picking tinfoil or a star in the top of a Christmas tree with a fake candle in it representing him this Christmas. We ought to have a crown as big as the east is from the west with every precious stone that could ever be available, and the biggest ones in that crown to represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, not a little old tinfoil star. You know, that's gross idolatry, paganism. Cussed Christmas tree, all of the little ornaments and the berries and the chains, the mistletoe. You ever look up the reason that mistletoe is used? It's so repulsive you can't even preach its definition to a mixed audience. How are you going to tell them that the juice in the berries represents life or sperm? You know, yeah, shucks. The gays might like it. But, you know, it's awful. The beginning, every star, every ornament on those trees, money is made by an ungodly nation called Japan and China. They make those things and make profit by them, by us infidels here in America that buy the ungodly junk to represent the gods and the goddesses of all paganism. We've got them all wrapped up on that Christmas tree and all the ornaments, the red berries, and the chains, and the foils, and the icicles, and all of that crap. In those ornaments, we'll have such things as the wicked god and the queen goddess that's pure, having a sexual relationship and bearing a bastard son called Jesus Christ. Represented in this. He's the crown of the stars and glory. Study that junk. I wish, maybe you shouldn't. But it's awful. It's awful. But we have all of that junk represented on a Christmas tree. Of course, now, we don't mean it that way. We can have them, and it's absolutely harmless for us to have them. Sure it is.
It is birthday.
Yeah. But God said, you can't even worship me in Egypt. Get out of there. You can't go out in the mountain. Israel said down in Babylon, we can't even sing the songs in the temple. They sang in the temple when there's ash, but we're not there in the wrong land. But then they could get a hold of these wicked old Moses forever and say, God said, wash you and clean yourself up and put away your idols and come on and follow me. They had them as soon as this stop looked like it started accumulating every stone and rock and bead and berry, twig, crucifix, chains of ornaments hanging around necks, around the ankles.
Tim Sullivan said that he owned a Baptist bookstore, a Bible bookstore, like the ones he was talking about downtown. He'd have a corner over there with all the crucifixes and everything in it. Right up above it, he'd have gravens. The graveyard.
Yeah.
And then a big banner, thou shalt not make anything.
Wish you hadn't brought in a bookstore business. But anyhow, we'll skip it for the time being. What do we do that the Mormons don't do? In the same thing of materialistic spiritualism. My brethren wanted to buy a cabin or a cottage up there, lodge in Crestline, where we were this Thanksgiving. It came up for sale. We believe we could get it for $120, sleep about 120 people. It's a good lodge. Boy, I said, well, boy, we could keep it rented out. No trouble renting it every renting a cabin to the devil and his people and taking money off of that. You fellas got to be kidding. Now, you can't be serious. You thought you were serious? I'd kick the hell out of you right now. You even thought about being serious. Lord have mercy. What are you thinking about? You know, the thoughts just ramble along, you know. It's awful. Really, it is. You haven't got enough genuine conviction in Missionary Baptist anymore. If you had it written in lead letters, side of a boxcar, you wouldn't have enough to sink a thimble. It's pitiful. Pitiful. We still remember spending 33 minutes in the business meeting one night discussing what temperature to set the thermostat in the auditorium on. We hadn't had it on godly air conditioning. We'd have spent 30 minutes of arguing with one another back home. Nobody ever made a motion not to fan yourself with a paper fan when you got hot. Nobody ever made a motion don't stick another stick of wood on that stove when it got cold, you know. Now we have to argue about what temperature to keep our comfort. Our hellish and ungodly carcasses. When people come out, you breach your fool heart out on the doctrines of it. That's cold this morning. I just couldn't take it. So cold. You want to say, well, what in the hell did I preach? You know. Man, I had vexed you. You can't get to people. You can't get to them with a word because of the material comforts. Honestly. Now, if you have it very pleasant, then they go to sleep.
That's what they want.
I preached up there Thursday night. And had me a good message, too, and it was right online. It had some amen from a few, you know, and that was good. At least it changed. To my own church now, to their own people. Someone sitting at their eyelids about 3/4 mass. As soon as I quit. I said, Brother Stacy, he got up. Breakfast in the morning, beer. I said, you ungodly bunch of impotent nitwits, I ought to kill you. Ever last one of you. Not enough Christ in the church to do anything with this. Nothing. And so the next night I got a little more entertaining. And then drop the bombshell, but they stayed awake. You know, I had to entertain them. You do. You have to entertain people. They don't listen to God's word. It's meaningless. You got to flavor it up, color it up, do everything you can. You have to act foolish sometime in order to get them to hear it. You know, just resolve to anything, any course, to get them to hear it. You get so sick.
Understand why Jeremiah spent a lot of time crying.
My father-in-law at Shreveport, Louisiana, old Brother Hollingsworth, he pastored there a number of years in the old church where the Interstate 20 goes through now, is on Old Pier Avenue that's long since been covered up. But he went up one Sunday night, and there's about 25 or 30 there for BTC church. I think they had about 125 for Sunday school and church Sunday morning. They had the song service, and he got up, and they thought he was going to preach, and he said, brethren, I'm not going to preach tonight. I don't feel like it. I want to go over to the house. There's a television program I want to watch. See you Wednesday night. He left. And boy, the telephone began to buzz, not only by those who were present, but by those who weren't present. Don't know what happened, what's your here? Well, the rest of it didn't feel like coming. I decided I didn't either. It's good for you, it's good for me. I want to see what y'all stayed at home to see on television. Got to know how to preach to you. Sunday morning they had a good audience, and Sunday night they had a good audience. And they preached him from then on. They came back. They would say, well, he just walked out. So I just don't feel like the rest of you didn't. I don't either. Just as much right to feel bad as the rest of hell, you know.
My pastor in Alabama, we showed up on Wednesday night and had told him that about 11 or 12 people were there. He and he looked around and said, well, let's open in prayer. And they opened in prayer and said, well, let's close in prayer. And we closed in prayer. And that got around too. And the next one's in that was about 40.
Yeah, they thought they were going to go home real quick.
So if you're going to start this, we don't want to miss it.
Yeah, I can be counted and still go home.
Yeah, really. I don't want to go down there all that time down there.
I guess they'll ask for that message that you maybe spoke about. About the perseverance. You know, even though you can get really discouraged sometimes, pastor, you preach, teach, and there's no change. But then you say, well, okay, just keep right on going anyhow.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And just...
Never have wanted to quit. I never did want to dismiss. You know, somebody has won there, they're going to get something. I won't change my message either. I'll just go on with it. Yeah. Well,
the thing is, you work with maybe 100 people, and over the period of 5 years, out of 100 people, and more than that because of trends that you see, real results in just two or three. Seems like.
Here is essentially what Mormonism is. Mormon theology is essentially pluralistic and materialistic, with strong emphasis on the dynamic character of reality and having a naturalistic and humanistic quality uncommon in theistic philosophy. What is theistic philosophy? What does the word theistic mean?
Is that in these notes you read?
Yeah, yeah, seven.
Page seven.
Professor Sterling.
Oh.
I didn't start off with the first word. You missed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was looking for the last one.
I didn't look at the quote here. All right. Now, as we have pretty well decided, at least I have, and I think you were with me, I hope.
Is Sterling M. McMurrin a Mormon?
Yeah.
And
of the University of Utah, former U.S. Commissioner of Education, says that Mormon theology is
essentially pluralist.
If he was not a Mormon, he would not have been a professor in that university.
I kind of thought that, but it sounds to me.
But they are bold. They don't mind making the proper statements. He can make this statement and brag on it. They're that bold, really. They don't lay hold upon theology. Their whole deal is a philosophy. So he says theistic philosophy, having a naturalistic and humanistic quality uncommon in theistic philosophy.
That's a quote from...
Yeah.
He condemned himself for sure on that one.
Most of our blood trail proof of validity is made by Catholic priests who were educated enough to keep the counts of the records, and they speak about us derogatorily. But thank God they did it. Yes, sir.
Hey, those guys actually emerged.
Yes, some of our people are so cussed, they won't believe the Lord Jesus Christ meant what he said. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. They believe they have to have a history. She ain't gonna get none of that, boy. Thank you, sir. And may the communication of the Holy Spirit deal with you too. Amen. Say, do you see Brother Hennis?
Sure.
Do you have his phone number that I may contact him?
Sure do, but it's awful hard to get hold of him.
Would you tell him?
Very bad, very much in love right now. He's in their arms.
Would you ask him to call me sometime?
I sure will.